Advent series with names or titles, nativity titles of Jesus. So John chapter 10, and we'll read from 11 to 30, actually, 11 to 30 on John chapter 10, page 1528 in your Bibles that are provided in the black colored Bibles, 1528, John 10, verse 11 through 30. We read there these words, I am, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were, again, divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. And the Jews who were gathered there around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved in Christ, Ray and Megan, brand new parents who presented baby Owen for baptism this morning, have no doubt already discovered something about their child, son Owen, that most every parent realizes within hours, within even minutes of the mom delivering the baby. I'm sure Ray and Megan knew it immediately. Their precious baby, baby Owen, is, are you ready for it? Helpless. He is helpless. Baby Owen cannot care for himself. He cannot feed himself when he is hungry. He cannot change himself when he needs changing. He cannot cover himself or wrap himself up nice and tightly with baby blankets. Put a blanket next to him for him to do it himself. He won't. Put a bottle on the table for him. He won't walk over and start drinking it. Put a brand new diaper and some wipes on a changing table. He will not hop up on that table and clean himself up. He is helpless. Helpless. Jesus was helpless. Think about that. We all know the nativity story. Mary, Jesus' mother, when she had given birth to him, wrapped him in cloths, he couldn't do it himself, and placed Jesus in the manger. Couldn't do that either. He was helpless. He was like every other newborn baby in every way. Helpless, like a little lamb. Helpless, like a sheep. Sheep, of course, remain helpless. They go through life helpless. If you know a little bit about sheep, even when they're older, they aren't quite as helpless as when they are tiny little lambs just born, but you'd still use that adjective to classify them, a helpless sheep. For example, even when they grow up, they can't find or forage their own food. They need to be brought to the place of green pasture where the good grass is. They can't sniff it out themselves. And they seem okay with that. They can't find water either. There can be an overflowing watering trough 10 feet away. But unless the sheep are actually led to the water by someone, they will go thirsty. How does the psalm writer say it? He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are always followers, blind followers at that. Sheep herders, shepherds, tell stories of sheep moving along in the pasture, and they watch as one sheep jumps over something in its path. And on closer inspection, the shepherd sees that, well, the thing that they jumped over, that really wasn't a thing at all. There was no obstacle there whatsoever. And that wouldn't be so strange, but the other sheep following that sheep, they do the same thing at the same place. They all jump over the imaginary obstacle that isn't there. Sheep also have a lot of trouble getting through gates. They don't want to go through. Maybe they're scared, but helpless really is the word. What's interesting is that they'll keep milling around on one side of the gate, refuse to go through until the shepherd pushes one or two of them through the gate. Then all the rest of the herd follows suit. They go through the gate, no problem at all. And then there are sheep who on occasion wander into fire. They'll walk right into a blaze of fire. Who knows what is going through their heads when they do this? It's a whole lot of nothing. Now, maybe you've heard the term cast sheep. What's that? Picture it. A cast sheep happens when a sheep, quite innocently, well, rolls onto its back with all that wool. Maybe they want to scratch an itch, but when the sheep does this, its center of gravity shifts. It finds itself in a position in which it is unable to get back on its feet. And there's no life call or life alert button to press. I've fallen and I can't get up. If you are a sheep in this situation, you are called a cast sheep. And if no one is around to help you, you will never get up. If no one comes along for too long, the sheep will eventually die helpless in that cast position. As shepherds know so well, sheep in these and so many other ways prove themselves to be helpless. Helpless. You know what the second definition of sheep is in the dictionary? After the first one about, well, this is a type of animal, the second entry reads like this: a sheep is a person who is meek, timid, defenseless, helpless. A person who is helpless. Dictionary says it, even the Bible, which has good things to say about most everyone, makes a habit of equating us people with sheep. The Bible calls us sheep. And the Bible does not flatter us one bit by doing so. Think of it, though, that means Jesus too was a helpless sheep, just like us. Now, there's something about being called a sheep and needing a shepherd that is apparently quite appealing. Think about it. Why would Psalm 23 be such a familiar, popular psalm if that were not true? It describes the work of a shepherd, the Lord, the good shepherd in relation to his helpless sheep. This is quite appealing to this sheep, it is at least. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are appealing words for not very appealing people, sheep-like people. They tell of a shepherd who is the Lord God, who takes care of his own, who provides for all the needs of those who are his sheep. Even in the worst of times, when we're at our wits' end, when we've had a miserable day, when we can't go on, when our relationships are falling apart, when our hearts are grieving, when our spirits are troubled, when we're on our way to rock bottom, when we just don't know what to do and to whom to turn, these words tell us there is a shepherd who leads us beside quiet waters, restores us, guides us to the right path, comforts us, loves us, and is with us. The Lord God is that shepherd for sheep like us. Now think about it. Jesus was a sheep just like us. These Psalm 23 words, written 1,000 years before he was born, applies to him too. They are words that tell us, yes, you are a sheep, helpless, but that's okay because there is a shepherd for you. All these needs you have because you're helpless, they are met in that shepherd. You hunger, can't find food. You thirst, can't find water. You worry, can't find assurance. You fear because you don't have courage. You get burned and can't find healing. You lie down in despair and can't find hope. There is a shepherd for all of that, the Lord God. Here you are, my little sheep, says the shepherd. Here is food and water. Here is assurance and courage. Here is healing and hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Psalm 23 is filled with words that sure do appeal to us sheep. We are painted as unflattering sheep, but that doesn't matter. For the Lord is there. The shepherd is there to meet our needs. Well, that's Psalm 23. What about John chapter 10, our text? Psalm 23 puts a picture in our minds of protection and security and guidance and provision from the shepherd. In John 10, you'd think Jesus, a sheep himself, and now calling himself the good shepherd, would pick up on those same themes. I will guide you, protect you, provide for you, but he doesn't. Not here. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am, there's that word for, signifies he's talking about the Lord God. I am the Lord God, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Where does that come from? That's not part of being a shepherd. Even in Bible times, the shepherds then never had in mind to give their lives for these helpless, sometimes exasperatingly helpless sheep. These sheep with such limited know-how. I mean, taking care of them is one thing, but laying down your lives for them was quite another. Shepherds never had that in mind. Voluntarily laying down their lives for their sheep. When they became shepherds, they knew they might have to face wild animals like wolves and certain other dangers on the job. They knew providing and caring for sheep might sometimes be tedious and difficult and hazardous, but voluntarily laying down their lives was another thing altogether. What shepherd would willingly die for his helpless sheep? Sure, the possibility of a shepherd being in an accident or being wounded and even dying was there, but these shepherds certainly weren't about to go quietly. Shepherds did all they could to save their sheep by themselves, staying alive to help them. They didn't sign up for voluntarily letting themselves die. Their resources for providing were only useful when they were alive, not dead. Jesus, then, a sheep himself, must be another kind of shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is no ordinary shepherd. The Lord God is no ordinary shepherd. He is a shepherd who puts his own death in the forefront. Provision and security, protection and guidance, they're all right and good. And every true shepherd will do his utmost to promote those things for the sheep. But Jesus sees something else, doesn't he? Something the average shepherd doesn't see. Something the sheep don't see either. Jesus sees that he has to die, lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus sees a need in sheep that must be died for. This good shepherd knows that even if all those other needs we have talked about, even if all of those, protection and guidance, provision, security, hope and courage, food and drink, even if all those needs are in some way met by him, which they are, even if they're all met, it won't mean a thing if he doesn't lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus knows this. Jesus began his journey to sheephood, or to the sheephood, robed in divine royal glory as he lived with his Father and the Holy Spirit in perfection and majesty, the likes of which we can't even begin to ponder. And in that eternal, glorious majesty, God saw our sheep need for salvation, saw our helplessness, how we are helpless in every way, and saw the sin we had fallen into that we were helpless to fix. And so in the divine will of God, it was good and loving for God to send his own son to become a helpless sheep just like us. And the journey to the sheephood, to sheephood, began. Helpless, he was born. Helpless, he was placed in a manger. Helpless to stay fed. Helpless to fend off danger. Helpless to change himself. Helpless, just like every other infant, just like every toddler, just like every child. Helpless, he grew up helpless like us. The book of Hebrews says it so perfectly. Hebrews 2 and 4, he shared in our humanity. He had to be made like them, us, fully human in every way, able to empathize with our weaknesses. He suffered himself when he was tempted. Welcome to sheephood. He knew everything about it, about how helpless we are, because he lived it. He lived in that helpless state. He saw it from afar, and then being born fully human, he saw it up close. He saw what sin caused in us from afar, how it keeps us from God, and then he saw, being born fully human, what sin caused in us up close. And because even though that sin was all around him, and even though the temptation to fall into sin was introduced to every single one of his five very human senses all the time, he did not sin. He lived the life we were supposed to live. And what did he do? He became the good shepherd. He did the only thing helpless people finally can do: give up their lives. What did he do? He gave up his life. And in his helplessness, because he was perfect and never submitted once to that sin, in his helpless state, giving up his life became the very helpless thing that could save us. And he, as he helplessly hung on the cross, giving his life for us, sinful, helpless sheep, and in so doing, he reconciled us back to God. He helplessly endured the punishment for our sin. He sacrificed himself that way so that God could again say, "You sheep are now righteous. You are back into friendship with God because this helpless sheep, my son, became your good shepherd." The good shepherd helplessly laid down his life for you, and in doing so helped you with one of the two things you will forever be helpless to do. He made you right with God. Your sin made you helpless to do that. He did that. He got rid of your sin guilt. He bought forgiveness for you at the cross. He bought God's forgiveness by laying down his life. And the second thing we are helpless to do, you see it in our passage? Verse 17. "The reason my Father," Jesus' Father in heaven, "loves me is that I lay down my life," what are the words? "Only to take it up again." And the next verse, "I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from the Father." You want to talk about helpless? Helpless baby lying in a manger. You'd think that was the end of his helplessness, right? But look where it led: to the cross and then the grave, which accomplished forgiveness and reconciliation. But still, from the glory of heaven's throne to the helpless baby in the manger, and things were looking up at the cross, but then to the grave he went. I guess he's helpless after all. This sheep like us in every way except for sin, momentary blip of greatness at Calvary, but then buried in the earth, Golgotha. Helpless once more. And Jesus, the good shepherd, said, "Open up your eyes. Don't be blind. by my Father's command, I have authority to rise from the dead. And there it is, the second big thing, huge thing, a sheep can do nothing about. No one likes to even think about it. We live our lives for a few decades, 7, 8, 9, or even more if we have the strength. But we all know we're helpless to prevent the final shutting down of our bodies. Our hearts stop, brainwaves flatline, breathing shudders to a halt, and we're helpless to do a thing about it. We can delay it, medical breakthroughs and machines squeak a few more months, maybe years out of us, but then the day comes. And we're helpless to, how did the Good Shepherd say it? Helpless to take our lives up again. Helpless sheep just don't have the resources to do it. But dear friends, we don't have the resources, but we sure do have the Shepherd who does. And the thing he tells us is that those who know him, who believe in him, who follow him, he has known them first all along, and he gives them the gift they are helpless to procure. It is eternal life. I'm sure, beloved, you want the assurance that in your helpless state, there is a good shepherd who happens to have been a sheep like you, and he is always about the sheep herding business of providing and comforting and helping and defending and leading you. I'm sure you want that. Everyone wants to go through the life with those things. Everyone wants every little bit that helps getting through life. Ray and Megan will be helping out their little guy that way. And he may not know it yet, but he will one day. Dad and Mom, you did so much for me in my life because I was helpless. And Ray and Megan can say, yes, we did. And it was a joy to do it, to help you throughout your life. And we did it because God does that for us too, Owen. Helps us like a good shepherd our whole lives through. But you know what's even more awesome, they can say? That good shepherd not only gets us through life, he gets us through death. God raised Jesus from the dead so that helpless sheep like you, Owen, and like Mom and Dad will have eternal life. That good shepherd, Jesus, gets us through death itself. And Mom and Dad, believe that. With all our heart, Owen. Do you believe that, Owen? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the sheep just like us. Jesus, he became a sheep just like us. Like his brothers and sisters in every way except for sin. And we're thankful that that journey from glory and majesty to helplessness brought him all the way to the cross and then into the grave. But then, because of your command, you gave him the authority to take up life again, eternal life. And thank you that all you say to us is, oh, believe that. Trust in me for that. And then live your life thanking me for it. But at the outset, believe it. I did that for you. I'm your good shepherd. From helpless sheep to good shepherd. And so we say thank you. And we so also ask the question of ourselves. Do I believe it? Really? Do I believe it? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.